So we're waiting, as we do on a monthly basis, for the unemployment number. It's going to be out a little bit later this morning. The unemployment rate is a number that the media, I think it's fair to say, dutifully and kind of ritualistically, and we're part of that, right?
Possibly obsessively.
Reports the first Friday of most months. When there's a holiday, they don't report it on a holiday on the Friday. But the number bounces around as though it has some kind of life of its own. Lately, it's been stuck right around 10%. Really, since the beginning of the recession, we've lost 8.5 million jobs. That's probably the most important number there.
That is, right.
And later this morning, we're going to find out the number for August. But in the monthly statistical noise, you know, it occurs to us here at The Takeaway, there are all kinds of permanent consequences. I mean, the number bounces around, but inside the number, things are happening to people that are permanent, that are going to have lifelong consequences.
That is absolutely true.
I mean, they're looking at jobs ending, careers changing, factories closing for good. I mean, what's
families moving.
Exactly. What's the future for people whose lives are changing for good? How do they think about what's going to happen to them 5, 10, 15 years into the future?
Right. And exactly what decisions do they make that they can't go back on?
Well, all of those stories, and we can't really report on those stories this morning, may look a little bit like what happened to Robert Riley. Robert, good morning. Robert, are you there? Well, Robert is a factory worker who worked in Mebane, North Carolina for 31 years. We'll get him back in a second, but let me set up the story here. He's featured in a book that came out in the 90s called The Life and Death of an American Factory. Photographer Bill Bamberger and author Kathy Davison captured the faces and the stories of the workers in Mebane, North Carolina, who lost their jobs when White Furniture Company closed its doors in 1993. It was the largest furniture factory in the South at the time.
Wow.
Back in 1993 when it closed. And when it closed in 1993, in May of 1993, buried in the official unemployment rate, can you guess what it was back in
1993?
7.5? Good.
7.1%.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good. 7.1%. Buried in that 7.1% number was the story of the factory workers in Mebane, North Carolina. Here's Bill Bamberger talking about what the premise was of the book Closing, The Life and Death of an American Factory. He spoke with us yesterday.
What happened is there were core groups of families that just had to look elsewhere for work. And I think the challenge for many was, you know, could they stay in the place that they had grown up and lived in and continue to find work? These were highly trained workers who wanted to stay in furniture, and there just weren't that many furniture jobs in the area to employ them.
Those were exactly the questions that faced Robert Riley. Robert, are you there? Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How old are you right now?
I am 73.
And when that factory closed, you were in your mid-50s back in 1993. 54. You'd worked at the White Furniture Company for more than 30 years at that point, right?
31
years. And you started as what?
Oh, well, I started a young man, a real young man.
Right, but what was your job when you began?
Well, my job, my very first job there was toting slab from the sawmill.
Toting slab from the sawmill?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then you were a truck driver for a while, right?
Yeah, I drove a truck, worked in the warehouse, you know, different jobs over the 31 years.
Now, at 54, you were facing the loss of a job that you'd held for 31 years. What was your first step after you lost your job, Robert Riley?
Where would I find another one at? You know, or if I would find another one, then how would I be accepted, you know, with my peers, you know, kind of treating me right? Or it was several things that were running through my mind.
And how long were you on unemployment?
Probably 6 months, seven.
Six months. Okay. Well, that relates to what a lot of people are going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel as though there were government programs that could help you retrain? I mean, did you pick up a computer and try to turn yourself into a programmer or something like that?
Well, what happened, I went out basically each day trying to find a job. See, because I realized that, you know, my unemployment wasn't going to last for so long. So I was basically trying to find another job.
And were these always in the furniture industry? I mean, were you stuck looking for jobs in the furniture industry, or did you have to widen your horizons a little bit?
Well, you were going to have to widen your horizons simply because there was no more furniture factories, you know, in the area that I worked in.
What did you imagine your retirement was going to be like back in, you know, the middle of the days when you were working at White?
Well, if I'd have stayed there, I'd have had a right fair retirement, you know, if I'd have stayed until I was 62 or 3. But by being cut out at 54, then I really didn't know what it was going to be.
So that whole dream of retiring with a pension out of a factory that you'd worked at for 3 or 4 decades, that went out the window right away.
That was gone.
Yeah, that was gone. So what was the strangest job you applied for over those years that you tried to recover after 1993? What was the thing that was most different from the kind of work you had done at White?
Well, I knew when I applied for other jobs I was not going to find anything like furniture because, like I said, there was no furniture. But what I did was I started applying anywhere, you know, grocery stores, and I started applying at anything that I thought they was hiring. And if somebody told me they was hiring, oh, yeah, and I went over there. And regardless of what kind of work it was, I just wanted a job.
Right. And your friend helped you get a job at the University of North Carolina. What job was that?
Yeah. Well, what happened was, he was already there, so he knew that I was a pretty good worker, so he asked me to come over. And I first started, my very first job, and my only job there was driving a shuttle van.
Driving a shuttle bus.
Shuttle, and taking folks from point A to point B.
For a lot less money, right?
Oh, yeah, it was less money.
Yeah.
But that was something, you know, it was a start.
What advice do you have, Robert Riley, for people who are looking at maybe their whole job going away, their factory closing, and really facing what you faced many years ago?
Well, one thing you've got to have, you know, you got to go into these jobs realizing that I may stay here until I'm retired, or I may not. And if I was a real young man, if I was working by day, I'd try to get me a trade by night. Or vice versa, so that if something happened, you will have something else to fall back on.
Well, be flexible. Think about the future. You know, use your network. It sounds like you did when you got that shuttle bus job. Robert Riley, 73 years old today, is retired. Was unemployed in 1993 when the White factory closed, for largest furniture factory in the South. Robert Riley, thanks so much for being with us.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.